Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrits, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon, and you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate episode 263. I'm Josiah Sapp for The Villain on Twitter at comic_syndicate on Instagram. Oh my gosh, so many stories I'm going to tell. I'm going to hit it the way I normally do though, is what I spoke about 100 episodes ago, episode 163. We entitled hashtag blank this. After a small hiatus, at Mem the Bean and at For the Villain finally roll the plane to catch up What Did You Do and What's Good Chat. Stan Lee's Los Angeles Comic Con and finally start the show with Wanna Know What We Spoke Up 100 Episodes Ago. So, that's always fun. Football talk, NFL Week 9 predictions, and the Comic Syndicate Fantasy Football League. Then hit What the Fuck News. Youth League kicks out team after man plays in football game. Okay, I just love this already because I'm that guy where it's like, I need a win, but it's like, I don't need a win that bad. So, what man would want to just destroy kids? Like, that's fun and funny. It's funny to me. Woman rams squad car while taking topless selfie. Also dope. And roll a new game. Fill in the blank. I don't fucking remember what that is. Then go to Comic Talk, Comic News. Deadpool director drops from part 2. Defenders enlist allies from Daredevil Jessica Jones. Brie Larson, Captain Marvel, to be Marvel's strongest character. The Flash movie loses its director. Oh my gosh, okay, so 100 episodes constitutes to 2 years ago. The fact that the Flash movie can still not get a director or writer proper going. It's just a weird thing. AT&T buys Warner Brothers and closing thoughts on Wonder Woman trailer. Okay, several of these things already like ring true. AT&T is probably the key one. Buys Warner Brothers. So this happened 2 years ago, constitutes 100 episodes ago. When that acquisition happened, I have some news today that actually kind of touches upon and hits it, and it's from Eric, honestly. He sent me an article, but that's what we hit. Then rock some comic reviews, Wonder Woman number 9, Teen Titans Rebirth number 1, Ms. Marvel number 12, Triumphant and Torment trade paperback, and Vision number 12. Tom King was writing it at the time. And I believe it was just a 12-issue arc, just a short story. Granted, it took a year to tell. Comics drop monthly, but it was a great story, and it's worth checking out. Bullet points I'm going to hit. Sorry, guys. First of all, I'm going to apologize to you guys. I know I sound terrible, and I called out from the office today because my body finally tapped out on myself, where my mind is ready to go, and it's like, all right, let's go to work, and my body's like, no, Dick, like, you're hurting a bit. The weeks prior to San Diego Comic Con, and then doing San Diego Comic Con, and then working this past weekend, second job, and yelling, not necessarily at people, but talking to people, using my voice a lot more, and the lack of sleep, more than anything, my body really fucked me up. And it's just a weird grind. So, honestly, I have a sore throat and I have an earache, both on the left side. So, your guys' left ears. I know where I sound terrible already, but try listening to me while I sound like this when I hate my voice and I hate editing anyways. That's just pull behind the curtains day for me. My body finally fucking got tired and, you know what, fuck it, dude, get some fucking rest. Finally. which honestly I was able to get some rest. I needed my body to rest, get some sleep, and relax and chill completely, and made myself some soup this morning, afternoon when I finally got some sleep, and went to get my haircut, went out still to do things, and you know what, where I get my haircut at the Orange Circle in Orange, Alicia's always dope, and there's a comic book store there. I'm recording this Wednesday, Absolute Carnage dropped today, and I'm like, you know what, I read everything digitally now, like I really do, and I purchase shit digitally so I can have it in my collection, but this is one of those stories that's like, I want that in my collection. So I did that, read something really dope today that I'm going to talk about next week. So again, this is the apology for my voice. And I know I sound terrible, and with my earache, I know I sound way worse. So bear with this episode. Hopefully it's good. But those are the bullet points. The Comic Syndicate Fantasy Football League 2019 is going to happen. I already got an email to get it set up. We have these legacy players in the league where it's like you've been on since the past 4 years. So you're more than welcome back on. And I've been posting a lot of cool shit, I think, on Instagram and Facebook, where this is the work progress. Like, this is the process I do. This is what I fucking do. And granted, it looks like it's not a lot of work. And to really have everything in front of you is really a lot of fucking work. When you're tired and when you're sick and when you shouldn't be recording, but just needing to get something out because, you know what? You still have to work. You still have to do these things. And I posted something up like, this is my medicine, but in a weird sense. Recording and being on the mic is my medicine too. It makes me feel good. And it's like, all right, geez, I don't have the energy for it, but I'm up for it. Like, let's do it. Let's hit it. We can rock it. Was just something I have to do. Fantasy Football League 2019. So on one of these weird posts I had put up, Sadie, my boy, hit me up out of the blue, which is dope. And he's like, dude, can you have me on the show? And I love homeboy. And he's one of those cats where it's like, fuck yeah. Like, I have a show already devised for you. I'm that fucking far ahead on like, okay, I'm gonna hit David up, and I love David, and I can use these people that I know with their own personalities, and I can work with it. And honestly, when it comes down to it, especially when I'm sick and feeling this way, I really miss recording with someone. Like, I miss bouncing ideas off of someone. I miss the downtime and like, all right, well, what are your thoughts? What are your opinions on these things? I completely miss it. And then there's a other flip coin where it's like, okay, now you've been doing it for a year solo. When it's like, you know what? Fuck it. Homeboy fucking bounced and you don't need anyone. And I never want to look at it like that either. But that's completely behind the script and the curtains that I just have to be fair and honest all the time. I work a lot. I work too much. And since I'm on working a lot of people think like they can hit me up and I need answers. I need this right now. I need that right now. I hate social media. I really do. And the Twitter thing is falling off because everyone that listens now kind of started from there. So now that I don't do it all the time and don't interact with everyone, I've noticed a lot of sour people, males and females. And it's like, I want to have contact with you guys, but it's like, do you guys understand like how much I'm fucking working that I'm still pulling a stunt off like this when I probably should be in bed? It's a grind. It's a fun grind. It's a fucked up grind. And it's my world now. So to have someone to bounce off ideas with, again, Sadie's up there. And again, David's up there. Albert's up there. I have a lot of people that I'm going to pull, and the work never ends, especially with the deep dives and rabbit holes. I have a grip load of those written up already where I can pull anyone in at any given moment and be like, you know what? Fuck it. You're perfect to fill in this spot. And let's just talk about this. And then even the Audio Chronicles, like, I have interviews lined up already. Like, if you guys don't think or understand that I don't work enough, something's wrong with you guys if you guys need me to give you a valid response. Or the things that I've been noticing from across the board. Honestly, I'm kind of tired of it, and it makes me not want to reach out to those people. Where it's like, my life sucks right now, and my friends aren't there for me, and it's like, even those people that say you're an open book, dude, my life is a fucking open book. How much more do you want it to be open? I'll tell you one thing. I will trade you one day in your life. And you know what? Let's fucking trade some fucking shoes. Like, honestly. Like, and deal with half of the bullshit I have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And night-to-night basis. And working both jobs. Or doing this. And honestly, I think you guys would appreciate what simple things you have that you don't have to work this much, because, shit, I'm passionate and I care about these things. I know that sounds terrible and it sounds like we went off on a tangent, but again, the social media across the board, I fucking hate it and I'm fucking tired of it. My life on social media is a fucking commercial. If you want to have a conversation with me, we can do that. And the best person that hits me up in that sense is Eric. Homeboy legit hits me up on the side, just texts us never about, like, dude, the episode was good. This week, that episode was bad. Or it's like, I like how you spoke about this. It's always just a fucking text. Just, how the fuck you doing? Or sending me a joke. Those are the people that I miss and I connect with. And juggling everything kind of fucking sucks. It becomes an anchor, a weight. And it really fucking does. And I don't mind it. And I'm nothing big, I'm nothing special, but I'd rather have those grounded conversations than people weighing me down with shit. Like, you don't have time for me for this, you don't have time for that, and that's not my world, that's not my life. I try to keep my headspace in the best place I can, and when my body fucking seems to wear down, which it did this week, I probably sound like I'm on fucking drugs right now, and I don't do drugs, sadly. I mean, sadly. It's not like a crazy madman, but okay, that's it for bullet points. That was a tangent, but fuck it, dude. Where else am I going to share it if it's not going to be on here with the fucked up voice where you guys can be like, you should probably tap out by now, Josiah. Quit while you're ahead. You know what? I don't like quitting, though. So, we're going to hit some TV movie talk. Viacom buys Garfield, new animated series being developed for Nickelodeon. Okay, looking at properties when I was a kid and, like, paying attention to, even as a kid, even as an adult, now paying attention to writers, directors, screen artists, the sound, like, I pay attention to those things as a kid. I didn't realize, but now it kind of makes sense, but the Viacom, you saw as a kid, if you're my age. The fact that Nickelodeon wants to purchase it and did purchase the property to continue it going on, I'm kind of down with that. Garfield is a legit good character that needs to keep on going, but so is Archie in a weird way as well. So is Dick Tracy as well, by the way. Seis Manos unleashes Mexican Kung Fu as Netflix's next anime. The creators and cast of Seis Manos, including Daniel Trejo and Mike Coulter, preview the new Netflix anime mix of Kung Fu and horror. This was dropped in San Diego Comic Con, and I saw it, but did not jump in on the panel. My voice is acting up right now. Sorry, guys. It Chapter 2, Alamo Drafthouse Hosting Clowns Only Screaming. Alamo Drafthouse invites moviegoers to dress in their best clown attire and attend a clowns only screening of It Chapter 2. I love dressing up for Halloween. I would love to just be in this audience as, you know, just a person watching the movie, but fuck that, wearing a clown outfit to enjoy a movie. Like, I'm going to be getting butter down the cheek of my face, and it's like, no, and I need some soda, so it's not going to end up well, but very cool that they did that. Amazon is developing a series based on a 90s space horror movie, Event Horizon, a television adaptation of the 1997 sci-fi horror film. Event Horizon is being developed by Amazon Studios. That was a dope movie to me. I'm a horror movie fan. I like B-C movies, even science fiction movies I love. Killer Clowns from Outer Space, like, same type of deal. Sci-fi horror. And even Aliens, same type of deal. Sci-fi horror. But I love those. So that they're going to do that one, especially when you can go to Limbo in a weird way, or Hell, which that movie kind of pulls on, is kind of cool. All right, this one I haven't hit, and I don't think I have, guys. Sorry. Batman gets a star on Hollywood's Walk of Fame in 2020. Doctor Who will soon stream exclusively on HBO Max. All right, we have The Mandalorian, Marvel News now. Jon Favreau is already working on Season 2, even though Season 1 hasn't been... actually, it's been announced, which is going to come out the first week of December, I believe. And Disney Plus launches in November. So, next one is going to be ABC in active talks to bring new female-led Marvel series to air. Marvel Television and ABC are working on a potential new series that will feature a mostly brand new female superhero. I'm down with that. That's cool. Venom 2, Tom Hardy fuels speculation of Andy Serkis directing. And this was a weird one because Venom 2 and Andy Serkis boards sequel as director. Andy Serkis is a great actor. I don't know what he has directed, really, but even Tom Hardy is on board to write Venom 2, and the review I have for next week is going to blow the fucking lid off of, like, you guys did not do Venom 1 properly, and we're all pissed off as fans because you made Eddie Brock look like a chump, and he's not, and so just out of character. I really hope Andy Serkis at least knows the character he's writing and or directing. And I hope Tom Hardy finally reads a goddamn fucking comic book about fucking Eddie Brock. The newest run would be nice, or Lethal Protector, because he was the opposite of all of those characters. Would be nice, and I would be happy with that. Taron Egerton wants to join the MCU, even if it's not as Wolverine. Taron Egerton expresses his interest in joining the Marvel Cinematic Universe, though he hesitates when Wolverine is mentioned. He's the kid from Kingsman, Rocket Man, Eddie and the Eagle. In my opinion, though, he would be a good Johnny Storm. Like, that's going to be a thing. Banshee, I think, in my opinion, he would be cool with. Would you guys want him to be? Would you want him to be Wolverine? Like, do you guys have any opinions on that? 2OC boys? Like, do you know your characters enough? Black Widow's fight scenes aren't your typical superhero battles. Good. Black Widow screenwriter Jack Schaefer teased that the fight sequences in the upcoming MCU film aren't like other superhero movies. So, yeah, he wants to keep it grounded. And they don't have powers, really. Mutant powers, abilities, so it's just straight up action sequences. There's never been anything wrong with that. Next one is going to be Natalie Portman preps for Love and Thunder. Natalie Portman preps for Love and Thunder with Mighty Thor Comics. Now, this one was just cool for me to see. I don't know who has read these arcs, these trade paperbacks, these runs. On Instagram, the actress shared a story showcasing the trade paperbacks she's currently reading to get prepped for the role. And that's exactly what I mean about the Venom. Prep for your fucking role. The story featured four volumes of The Mighty Thor, Thunder in Her Veins, Lords of Midgard, The Asgard, Shi'ar War, and The Death of the Mighty Thor. The actress then tagged Marvel, of course, with the simple caption, work. Jason Aaron caught that, and he's the writer of these, so that she's pulling from these writings of Thor. I'm fucking stoked, so go to work, homegirl. Fucking do it. All right, guys. This one, I've been talking a lot already. Bear with me. Comic reviews now is going to be Powers of 10. So we have House of X and Powers of 10, number 1. Jonathan Hickman is the writer. Arby Silva is the artist. Adriano de Benedetto is the inker. Starts off with a weird Jonathan Hickman way with a simple white page. Here's the thing, Charles. It's not a dream. If it's real, signed, Moore McTaggart. And it gives you panels. X-Men Year 1, The Dream. The X-Men Year 10, The World. As we get two panels of Professor X and what he looks like. The X-Men Year 100, The War. The X-Men Year 1000, Ascension. As it jumps back now to Year 1, where young Charles Xavier is at a fair. And he takes a seat, and it's just a regular fair that you guys would find in your town. And he's meeting a young Moore. And it's a weird and interesting back and forth in this conversation, but very vague, as she drops that they know each other after he explained why he's so happy right now. She's like, you look really happy. And he's like, yeah, I'm happy because I have all these thoughts on my mind, and everything's coming to fruition. And he's like, do I know you? Yes, I know you, Charles. And she asks him to read her mind. Then it jumps now to Year 10 of Krakoa, where Mystique and Toad arrive with a thumb drive at the House of M. As we get several just odd interactions between Mystique and Magneto. And even Mystique and Professor X. Like, okay, we stole this information for you, but I want more. And Magneto's response is like, we're helping out mutants right now. And Professor X walks out and he's like, oh, you want more? Okay, I can give you whatever you're looking for. It's just weird if you know all these characters. And now it jumps again to X-Men Year 100. A northern territory of the Nexus, where a group is coming across dying mutants and like scavenging these bodies. We see this world they always feared. The mutants, the X-Men always feared. Almost days of the future past, like run overrun by sentinels that only want to find your mutant DNA so they can kill you. There's a young girl that's captured. Her name is Cleobel. As we see, she's trying to protect her friends right now. One of them is named Rasputin. The other one is Cardinal. As Rasputin goes to work after a quick debate, like, we need to get the fuck out of here, Cardinal says. And Rasputin's like, no, we don't leave anyone behind. And to top things off, that's her sister. And that's my mentality, too, is never leave anyone behind. But I'm always that weird guy. So anyways, as Rasputin goes to work after that quick debate, she has a soul sword and Colossus' skin, holding up as long as she can until there's nothing else she can do. The next page is a description of the Sinister Line. A mutant breeding program where it's brief but crazy heavy info. And the way Jonathan Hickman is so heavy on dialogue is sick. And breaking down, going into these also Chimera programs. The first batch, the second batch, the third batch, the fourth generation of these. And how they in a sort of way lost their way. As it finally jumps now to Cleobel. Nimrod and Omega, so the young girl, this mutant, 100 years in the future, as they put her through the ringer just to get information. And it jumps now to the kennel. And this one is another breakdown. Sentinel mutant breeding camps. These are the assholes that will kill mutants. These are the assholes that will put you down. Producting hounds. Creating hounds. Mutants hunting their own kind. But these also had their defects as well. Like, in a weird way, like everything they're creating, these mutants as a kind in general, once they realize, like, okay, I was created to kill my own culture. I was created to kill my own kind. And you're a defect once you realize, like, holy shit, I'm fucking destroying and killing my family, my friends, like, in a weird way. And I love how that's drawn out. Jumps now to the No Place Up, where Cardinal and Rasputin finally arrive. Where, once they get there, they're greeted by the leaders, I guess, of this place, which is Wolverine and, like Old Man Wolverine, which I did post that up, and Magneto in green, which is odd to see, and he's got a beard, white beard as well, and they have, like, a Groot figure that's bearded out as well. They have all these characters, and Wolverine now asks, and again, we don't know, but Jonathan Hickman is spreading these seeds where it's like, this is what it is. Wolverine asks these two kids, Cardinal and Rasputin, were the deaths worth it? And the breakdown of the next page is of the surviving mutants. There are less than 10,000 in just alive in civilization, and mostly transplants and refugees. And listen to what I'm saying, guys. Like, the way Jonathan Hickman is writing it is really smart. As we learn that there are two colonies in space, refuge, that are given refuge by the Shi'ar Empire. There are 8,000 mutants alive on this place called Benevolence. And there are 2,000 mutants that are a warrior stock. So, 8,000 are held as refugees, like, come over here. And then 2,000 of you, we want your best warrior kind to fight what's going on. And hopefully we can help you guys repopulate, type of deal. Like, everything they feared, like the death camps, to compare mutants with death camps and anti-mutant death camps and mutant death camps. It's like, shit, this is everything I did not want for these X-Men that I know. And just to see everyone's side is really odd. It now jumps to X-Men Year 1000, with a librarian of sorts now looking like she wants to help and do more. But knowing the culture, the race, religion being thoughts, that mutants are lost forever. Like, they've finally been wiped out of extinction. An extinction agenda is what rings in my head, which is a comic book event for the mutants. The extinction agenda was to kill, eradicate all mutants. So that's just me and my thoughts, but it ends with very fucked up. Like, you've forgotten the machines have no soul, and the humans have lost theirs a long time ago. Signed, Rasputin. So there were so many cultures, countercultures, mutants being raised and bred to take out their own kind, and you're a defect if you actually have remorse for doing what you do. How fucked up is that? Alright guys, that's just the first review. Second review is, and it's a Marvel title, Jonathan Hickman, the art in that is beautiful. It's a lot of fucking work, but second one hopefully is going to be quick. This is going to be a a very offensive title to me. Batman Last Night on Earth, number 2. This is written by Scott Snyder. I love Scott Snyder, but this is under the DC Black Label banner. Greg Capullo is the artist, Jonathan Glapion and FCO Placentia are the inkers and colorist of this. Starts off with Batman. So I have reviewed issue number 1 before. This one starts off with Batman confronting Joel Chill at his beat-up apartment to ask questions about the dead boy he found in issue number 1. Batman wants to know the truth about Joe's son. And he's like, we have no records of your son. He's like, yeah, that's a long story. As the fire starts in the commotion, as Joel tells Batman that this is his last case. And as this goes down, Batman is then woken up by the Joker in that glass jar. And as he's telling Batman, you were screaming in your dream last night. And as he's like telling him, what the fuck did you see? As then a flash speed force storm hits, killing their ride. They were riding horseback, and they've been using a horse to get around. For even though they barely escape in a cave now, Batman witnesses his friends now screaming for help. So this speed force storm, it's really fucked up because it destroys everything. It's either going to degrade you to the atom of a baby, or it's going to desecrate your body to bones after living your life. So which side it's going to affect. As he sees the faces of his friends, Barry Allen, Jay Garrick, every flash just melded into this fucked up storm. Odd, yet cool to read and catch that it's all now the Joker with his head in this little fucking glass cylinder. It's his narrative. And the way he talks, like, he finally lost it. And how dark, like, shit. Like, what the fuck? You missed out on all this? How did you do it? And he's still the Joker, but in his mind, he's telling the story. He's narrating the story for you. So as they now move on, coming across more wrecked cities. And one being The Last Stand, where this is a part of the world where one side is red and one side is green. And this was supposed to be the last stand of armies of new superheroes that happen to just all turn on each other. So the red and the green. That Scott Snyder finally brought out the red is Animal Man and the death and how you can make yourself the red and how you interact with animals, creatures, anything living. And the green, like, we need the green, we need the world, we need the dirt, we need trees, we need plants. And that's Swamp Thing. But then you toss in people wanting to create new superheroes. And even people with armies, government, and how they can't live in this fucked up world together. As Batman just turned and asked, like, what the fuck are we witnessing? And Batman says, we have to help them. Joker simply, in his head, fucking, in his jar head, says, which side? We have to help them all. As he realizes, like, humanity seriously has been fucking lost by this point. The scene then jumps now to a city where we see Alfred now also being confronted by Bane and the Scarecrow that tell him he fucked up by acting out, but that Omega will make him better again and stronger. So Alfred acts on this offer and he starts shooting, and then we get the outcome and him getting drugged, and he's like, Omega, but like, you looked up to him. He trained you. As Alfred gets drugged up. Sorry, guys, my throat's acting up a little bit. And it's really fucked up because once they drug Alfred up, Omega tells Alfred, I'm sorry. You didn't mess up. You saved them that day. I just want you to go in peace. And as Alfred gets drugged up, and Omega, who looks like a sick version of Batman, but like Batman Beyond as well. We don't know who this character is, but it's someone that was trained by Batman, and I'll go into that shortly, but that even that's fucked up. Like, he knows Alfred well enough to not want Alfred to die with a guilty conscience, where it's like, no, you saved the whole family that day. And as Alfred repeats it, and he's like, now you can go. Like, con beautiful, but fucked up, but that means he's got to be really close with the Bat family. So now we see back again Batman and Joker's head in a vial. Continue to move on. Traveling, Bruce still going on, working, till they finally get they get driven to the Plains of Solitude, where Joker has this odd fascination. And funny side notes, the way Scott Snyder is writing Joker in a jar, where Bats is looking for soups now, as, you know, I'm at the Fortress of Solitude, wanting help from his friend as they start getting attacked or warning shots, till Superman finally arrives and tells Bruce to rest. So those are the pictures I did post up, as we get a crazy, odd, weird turn with Superman, and even more so Lex Luthor building and infusing these robot versions of Superman with Kryptonian cells. Like, he's gone mad in a weird way, but he wants to help. We get these beautiful pages of Superman and Lex Luthor from Greg Capullo. Just so great, so beautiful. As we get background on the seeds that were planted in the world that they lost. And some quick action sequences when Diana finally arrives. So Supes kind of turns on Batman. And it's like, what the fuck's going on? And when he gets attacked, the whole time Lex Luthor is explaining, like, this is what happened. It wasn't just your fault. It was our fault. It's all the villains' faults. And Batman Bruce Wayne is like, we gotta go to work. You gotta let me know what the fuck happened. What the fuck did I do? How did I fuck up? Superman starts attacking him. All the fucking Superman that fucking Lex Luthor has now just start about to kick their ass and want to kill Batman, because of course Superman would be that guy. And Diana finally arrives to help out, and we get an interesting turn again, but now it's this time from Lex Luthor helping them out, realizing, like, I fucked up. Go away from here. I can help you guys out. I can teleport you guys away, find answers, and just leave here. Next place that leads Diana, Bruce Wayne, Batman, and Joker in the head is in limbo, where Batman finally gets what happens along with some news on Omega. Batman finally realizes that he created him or trained him. We also get some beautiful friendship moments from Diana. So they're traveling on a boat now in limbo. And she tells him, Joker's like, do you guys hear that? Do you guys hear that? And Diana's holding her rope of truth. And Batman's like, let me see what's out there. Bruce, you don't want to see what's out here. Especially because you feel bad already. You're the last person that needs, just let me see what's going on. He holds the rope. She trusts him. And he's able to see everyone. A lot of superheroes. Not everyone. But a lot of superheroes. And he's like, they're calling my name. Whatever you do, don't go calling to any of them. Because once you enter the water, you're going to join them. And Batman now, like, sees this. And he sees Alfred. And he's like, fuck. How bad did I fuck up? And then Batman says, as they're on this boat, what if I just get everyone killed all over again? Diana says, you probably will. I mean, you are the one that held the door open that time. But then why? Dana says, why what? Why the hell would you follow me, Dana? Why? Her answer is, because you're the one that held the door open that time. It is just fucking beautiful to me, where it's like, shit. Like, you know your friends, and you know those people that are there for you. For even though you're fucking up, people will take care of and look out for you sometimes. And it ends on a cool note, though, as they reach Omega's Gotham now, and where Batman tells Diana a story and what his plan is. Now he's like, this is not my Gotham. It's like, no, this is Omega's Gotham now. And she's like, do you have any plans? It's just the two of us with you and your Joker head in a fucking jar. Alright, let me tell you a story. There was once this world I fucking was able to break into. Do not tell me it's Themyscira. Okay, we didn't know what it was at first. So that is Batman being Batman. I need to know everything. Type of deal. And his plan is to go underground and to break into the whole city network by underground, which Batman goes underground and they get attacked by a bunch of villains. The Court of Owls. And even Joker's like freaked out, like somebody, I hear a lot of shit going on down here. And we see these Court of Owls that are ready to kill them. And Bruce is like, no, I know you. And he's like, you know me. It's like, it's Bruce. And the main leader of the Court of Owls takes off his mask, and it's Dick Grayson. Greg Capullo and Scott Snyder created the Court of Owls. The story, go back and read those. And this is not continuity necessarily, but the Court of Owls and how Dick Grayson was essentially created to be the Gray Son of Gotham. He was supposed to be a feared character, but he learned proper and he didn't fall apart, and he still fought, and he's still good, he's still pure. So I love Nightwing, just to see that at the end was nice. Sorry for spoiling that for anyone, but it was just dope. Like, now Batman doesn't feel alone, and even Dick giving him that look like, where the fuck have you been, dude? Like, I've been working. I'm curious to see how they work together now with Bruce fucking up the whole world and death and destruction, and which version of Robin would be the one fucking up Bruce's world or life. And it's going to be either, I don't know if it's Red Hood. It could be Red Hood. I think it's Tim Drake. Everyone loves Tim Drake, and that's a Tim Drake I don't like. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But that's issue number 3. All right, guys. Sorry about the tangents. I'm sorry about my voice cracking and scratching and sorry for everything. But I had to do it. I had to go to work. And all right, guys, subscribe to the podcast and iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. This one was a struggle. I did put it on pause to start it up and hit it all over again. But there's a lot of editing, and I don't always sound like this. If this is your first time listening, please go back to the catalog, subscribe to the podcast in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. I will catch you guys next week, and the plan is to be 100% all the time. All right, guys. So sorry again. I will catch you guys next week feeling 155% better. Late night. Peace out.